let's bring on Kyle Ireland to talk about everything that's happened. Before I get into serious questions, though, Kyle, what was your highlight of the week?
I was really excited to sleep on Wednesday night, Michelle, because I knew that I wasn't going to sleep much on Thursday and Friday night, you know?
That's fair.
It's been a busy week, so, you know, just had to get some Z's before the craziness started. But, no, it's been super fun. I mean, I didn't think that there was going to be much action on Thursday night, which turned out to be the case. And so, really, to have last night, you know, see four guys from the local players go was really exciting and kept us busy, but it was fun.
So, I mean, let me ask you about that right off the bat. Four local guys taken on day two in rounds two and three. You know, were you surprised where these guys landed? Was there someone that stood out that you feel like just landed in a particularly great spot? Give me kind of the rundown of those four guys and where they ended up.
Yeah, so, I mean, the first guy to go was Jackson Powers Johnson, really just the standout center out of Oregon. He played his high school football at Corner Canyon and then went up to the Ducks for a few years. Jackson Powers Johnson he's one of the best offensive linemen in this draft. And so the fact that he was kind of a first round to early second round grade. And so there was a chance that he was going to sneak in on Thursday. I didn't think that it was likely, but there was a chance, and, you know, a few mock drafts had him slated kind of in that range. And so to see him go to Las Vegas, where he's just down the road, the closest team to us here in Salt Lake City, I think that's cool for, you know, not only him, but also his family as well. And so to be able to have him go there, he's going to be playing alongside Andre James, who is out of Harriman High School. He's currently the center for the Raiders. And I believe it was Ian Rappaport yesterday of NFL Network said that the Raiders actually called Andre James before they took Jackson Powers Johnson and said, "Hey, just so you know, we're taking Jackson Powers Johnson, and you're still going to be our center." So I would expect a little bit of change of position there. So I'm guessing he's going to play guard alongside Andre James, but pretty cool that the Raiders are going to have on their starting offensive line, they're going to have a couple local high school standouts. So that's exciting to see. And then after that, I was actually a little surprised. I think that it's an awesome spot, but Cole Bishop going to Buffalo Bills, I thought that he was going to actually fall to the third round based off of some of the stuff that I had read and heard. And so I thought he landed in the perfect spot for him. I thought he was graded as a second round guy. And so I'm happy to see that it played out as such. But the Bills have had kind of a crazy makeover this offseason. They've had a lot of veterans let go in free agency. You know, they released some guys. And so he's actually coming into a really good spot for, you know, being able to play right away. And so I like that for him. That division is super fun. Buffalo is super talented still, and I expect them to be fighting for a playoff spot alongside the Dolphins and Jets and Patriots. You know, it's going to be fun to see him also alongside Dalton Kincaid, who went there in the first round last year. And so a couple of Utes reuniting there in Buffalo. The third guy to go was Kingsley Suamataia out of BYU. And he was another guy kind of like Jackson Powers Johnson who could have been a first or second round guy, ends up going to the second round. But to be able to see him go to Kansas City, where he gets a phone call last night from Andy Reid, fellow BYU alum, welcoming him in. I don't know if you happen to see the video on social media. Mitch Harper, our BYU insider, wrote it up on the website last night. But Andy Reid gave him a phone call, welcomed him to Kansas City, and then Brett Veach, the Chiefs GM, he also talked to him, and he said, I know a couple of things about Andy Reid. One, he likes offensive linemen, and two, he likes BYU graduates. So that was kind of funny. And then lastly, real quick, is Jonah Ellis. I was so happy to hear his name called last night by the Denver Broncos. I heard you mentioning that before I hopped on, and great spot for him. Another guy kind of close to home here, obviously continues that pedigree that, you know, his last name carries, and you know, being able to play in the NFL alongside his brothers and like his dad did, I think that's super cool. And then again, he's gonna be, you know, there's a lot of Broncos fans in the state of Utah that I'm sure are also Utah Utes fans, and so to be able to have him go there is really cool as well.
Let's talk about the first pick of the NFL draft. Obviously, it's Caleb Williams. That's someone that I think around here locally we're pretty familiar with. Utah fans sure have a lot to say about the guy. what did you think about him landing number one overall, and how do you think he's going to ultimately end up doing in the NFL?
I mean, by far and away, he was the most talented player in the draft. I mean, the Bears, if they would have taken anybody else, they would have been criticized to no end for years to come because he is that talented. Obviously, there's, some of the, persona things that people have an issue with. And I think that stuff is all fun and games. It honestly doesn't bother me a lot. The fingernails, the trash talk, him crying after a game. Like, I just think that he's, a guy that kind of wears his emotions on his sleeve. And I think that that's actually something that, the NFL probably could use a little bit more of. Makes the game fun. And so I like it. I think that his speech on the stage after he was picked, I believe it was with NFL Network's interview with him, and he basically was like, asked what's going to make it so that you're the one that turns around the Bears franchise. And it's not like the Bears were, the worst five team last year like they were a couple of years ago, right? Like they were the ninth worst team. And so, still outside the playoffs, but had the number one overall pick based off of the Panthers and their trade with them a year ago. And so there's still some talented pieces there, and he can kind of be the next step. But what he said in his answer was, it's because I care. And I thought that was really cool of him. Like he said, he mentioned he cared about his teammates. He cared about their families. He cared about the coaches. He cared about the community. Like he said all of the right things. And I know that a lot of the time these guys are coached up to say those things. But to me, it seemed genuine at the time when he could have been, hey, I just was the number one pick in the draft and I'm just celebrating that. So I think that there's obviously like, these guys, when we think about it, it's like, oh, these guys are NFL players now. But at the same time, a lot of them, they're just 20-year-old kids and they're just still growing up. And so I think that there's obviously probably some maturing that's taken place since he arrived at USC to where he's at today. And I think that that'll continue as well.
I'm curious your take about another Pac-12 quarterback, Michael Penix, being taken by the Falcons. That came as a shock, I think, to everyone, including Kirk Cousins. I just want to get your take on that. What did you think of that pick? And how do you think that's going to work with him and Kurt?
Well, you can go look at my Twitter account. I said, what are you doing, Falcons? I didn't get it. That was crazy. I'm just shocked because they gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed. And if you're, dishing out that kind of money to a quarterback that you're, bringing in free agency, you expect him to be the guy for 4 years, right? At least. And so to bring in a guy who's a little bit older than Michael Penix Jr., the top 10 pick that you had, there are a lot of things where it lines up to being like, hey, like, are you only expecting Kirk Cousins to be there for a year or two? Because that's how I read it. And so, Kirk Cousins' camp, him, his agent, like, they weren't happy about it. And I get it from their perspective. I just don't get it from the Falcons' perspective because I would have been, more in favor if I was a Falcons fan to be like, hey, let's get Kirk Cousins a weapon. Let's get him a wide receiver. Let's go and get Rome Odunze, like, he's available right now. Let's go pick him up and give him another weapon alongside Drake London and Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Like, that's what I would have expected them to do. So I was shocked by that. I'm not a GM. I'm not, somebody in the NFL. And so maybe those guys are smarter than I am, but just on paper, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I feel like, in my opinion, it was trending. There was a lot of offensive players taken. Like, the first 14 picks were all offensive players. So did that surprise you? Do you think that played into it at all?
That part didn't surprise me. The fact that Penix went where he did, that surprised me. This draft was offensive heavy early on. It played out kind of like everyone thought it would in NFL circles and mock drafts and whatnot. My Colts, they were the first ones to take a defensive player, Latu out of UCLA. And, you look at the guys that went ahead of him. I mean, we're talking about six quarterbacks that went in the top 12, which shows there is a premium on quarterbacks and getting that position right in the league. And so I think that, a lot of these teams, even last year we saw, I believe it was in the fifth round, it really started you know, kind of opening the floodgates where a lot of the teams were just taking flyers on quarterbacks, guys, you know, like Jaren Hall went in the fifth round of the Vikings last year. And it's like, hey, we're going to take him. If he's our backup, great. If he ends up playing like Brock Purdy did, being the last pick in the draft and ends up becoming a guy that leads us to the Super Bowl, awesome. Like, all of these teams, just if they don't have that position set, if they don't have a Patrick Mahomes, a Josh Allen, those types of players, they're going to take flyers on quarterbacks, and it's happening earlier and earlier in the draft. And so I think because there is a premium on that position, it's pushing some of these other guys down in the draft where you look like a guy like Latu. One, had he not had some of the medical issues that he had when he was early on in his college career, that guy is a top five, top seven pick in this draft if it's not for the quarterback stuff, right?
Yeah.
And the medical issues. Brock Bowers, everybody talks about him being the best player on Georgia's team the last couple of years, you know, when they won back-to-back national championships. He goes 13. Like, that guy's a top five player in this draft, and he goes 13 to the Raiders. So I think that it's interesting because every year drafts kind of have themes. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, they were the popular things this year. Sometimes it's edge rushers. Sometimes it's D tackles. Sometimes it's cornerbacks. And this year just happened to be where those offensive guys really were the premium players.
Yeah. Very interesting situation. Kind of reminds me a little bit of what Green Bay did when they got Jordan Love a few years ago, and everybody was doing the, what the heck are you doing? You have Aaron Rodgers. You use that first round pick to get him someone to throw to. And they kind of sort of got the last laugh on that. I still think it was a mistake, and they could have gone Jordan Love later on, especially if they were just planning on sitting him for a while. But I digress. Not my problem, and not my job to come up with what to do. I am curious, Kyle. You know, we're heading into the last day of the NFL draft. Obviously, we still have a lot of locals available. Who do you kind of think gets picked up today? And then who are you kind of looking at maybe more as a free agent?
Yeah, so there are a few guys. I mean, you probably talked about them already. With Utah, you've got guys like Devon Bailey, Tione Baki. Laumea, I think, is probably the next guy to go, actually. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably the first local player to get picked today. And then after that, you're looking at Lehigh High School standout. Went to BYU for a little bit. Dallin Holker out of Lehigh. He's coming out of Colorado State this year, and he had an awesome season, so I would expect him to get picked or sign a free agent deal. I think that he's probably a draft pick. And then out of BYU, you've got Ryan Rico, a punter. Do we see a punter get drafted? I don't know. But if there is, you know, a punter or two that goes, like, he's going to be one of those two guys. And then Keaton Clovis, who's, you know, really an interesting player in this draft because of that quarterback situation that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, ESPN has him rated as the third best quarterback available. And there weren't any quarterbacks that went yesterday. And so that's been the case since the end of the first round. And that just blows my mind that he was the third best quarterback available after the first round of the draft. And so, do we see him go, you know, in like the sixth or seventh round just because one of those quarterbacks or one of those teams needs a quarterback or wants to, you know, take a flyer on him, see if he turns into something? He really had an impressive NFL combine performance, and so it wouldn't surprise me, but just based off of the college production that we saw the last couple of years, that's just, it's crazy to think about him being a draft pick. And so those are probably the main guys to go. He obviously had you know, Aiden Robbins, who put up a nice showing, BYU running back at Big 12 Pro Days. And then you've got a handful of guys out of Utah State, Utah, that'll probably end up signing free agent deals as well. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot that happens today. I expect a lot of action. We're probably going to have at least, you know, four or five guys go in the draft. And then who knows how many sign those free agent deals or get camp invites. That's always the fun and exciting part of the after draft process.
Absolutely. And a lot of local success stories through that route as well. I think that speaks highly to the development that you get around here. And that will be absolutely very fun to watch. Kyle, you had myself and Mitch Harper, our BYU insider, and of course, Brian, our Utah State insider, kind of put together lists of way too early 2025 draft prospects. Have you taken a look at any of those? Because I have to say, when I sat and wrote mine, I was actually blown away at how many guys from Utah next year could be considered. And obviously, that's not... It's not saying that every single one of those guys that I listed is going. Obviously, you know, some guys are going to return for like a fifth year. Some guys are going to transfer and go someplace else. Like, not everybody's going to have the year that you think they're going to have. But the fact that there's that many possibilities floored me. I knew this Utah team was going to be good. I didn't realize, like, just how many potential NFL-type guys are on that roster. Who are you kind of looking at early on thinking towards 2025?
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at the University of Utah, the guys that really, I think, stand out, it's Cam Rising, seeing how he kind of comes back off of this injury. Missing a year, that's tough. I mean, that's tough for any player, let alone a quarterback who's, you know, a leader of a team. We've heard good stuff coming out of spring ball from him and, you know, the work that he's put in over the last year. I'm really fascinated to see how he ends up playing out this last year that he has at the University of Utah. And so I think that he's a guy that, you know, if he puts on a good showing, like, his health is going to be so critical.
Yep.
He needs to have a good year. He needs to stay healthy. And then the medical stuff needs to come out really favorable for him in the pre-draft process a year from now. And so there's a lot of things that could change, you know, a lot of variables that go into that. But Cam Rising is probably the most fascinating. And then another guy that has to deal with the injury bug is Brant Keithy.
Yeah.
Brant, obviously, another guy, you know, missing a ton of time due to injury, but super, super talented. I actually think that Brant Keithy is the most talented prospect coming out of Utah this next season. And had he been healthy this last year, he would have been a draft pick, you know, this week.
Yeah.
And so I think Brant Keithy, I mean, you look at what Dalton Kincaid, you know, like, he's a perfect example. Dalton Kincaid had a breakout season a year ago at Utah and then ends up becoming a first round pick. Like, a lot of people, you know, before last season were thinking that was Brant Keithy, not Dalton Kincaid.
Totally.
That was how highly thought of Brant Keithy was. And so seeing him bounce back from an injury this year will be critical. Having that tag team, the two of them, that'll be something that, you know, Utah fans are really going to want to see play out. But NFL scouts are going to be at a lot of Utah games this year, checking those guys out. I would say another guy is probably Van Fillinger. Mm. Really talented high school product out of the state of Utah. You know, one of the most talented guys on Utah's defense. And being able to see him, you know, have a really successful season getting into the backfield this year will be good. Just real quick on the BYU guys, I think that Ben Bywater, Tyler Batty, defensive end linebacker out of BYU, those are probably the top two guys. Batty, I thought he had a chance this last season. Had he had a better year, he probably would have been in the draft this year. And then Bywater, he's coming off of an injury, so seeing him bounce back from that. Jacob Robinson, really, really interesting player, cornerback for BYU. He is a ball hawk, just interceptions left and right. I believe he's had like 8 of them in his BYU career. And so if he puts up another good year like he had last year, he's going to be a draft pick next year as well. And then for Utah State, guys like Jalen Royals and Ike Larson are the guys that I would look for. If they can kind of repeat the seasons they had this last year, coming out next year, those guys are going to have their names called.
Yeah, I think next year is going to be an absolute ball locally. It just feels like there's a lot of available talent that if they step up and they do what we think they can do, they could be making their way to the NFL, and I think that's so exciting.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that this state has continued to prove that it pumps out NFL-caliber players, whether it's at the high school level or college level. And we're not talking just BYU and Utah State.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got guys in the NFL from Weber State and Southern Utah as well. I mean, you look at Miles Killebrew out of Southern Utah. He was an all-pro player this year. That's crazy. That's super cool to see. And so I think that that's fun to see. This year, it's actually wild that, you know, it had either Towers Johnson or Cole Bishop or Suamata Ia snuck into the first round. it would have been, you know, multiple years continued now where we would have had a streak of first round players.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dalton Kincaid, Jordan Love, Zach Wilson, all those guys. I know I'm forgetting somebody out of one of those years, but it's fun to see that each of these schools are putting out high caliber players in the NFL every season.
Well, Kyle, great information as always. Thanks for jumping on and good luck with the rest of today. Hopefully some good stuff happens.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, everyone. That was Kyle Ireland, our NFL insider for KSLSports.com.